good to see everybody who's out with us this evening. I want to encourage everyone to pick up your Bibles and follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss. And you can follow along this evening by turning your Bibles to begin with over to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to continue to examine our Lord's great sermon there in that chapter, Luke chapter 6. And he's going to teach a lesson here about the heart. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles over there. And we'll read 43 through 45. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. This is what it says. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. One of the things that our Lord really enjoyed doing, he always did this when there was an appropriate illustration to make, really to drive a spiritual point home. He liked to look at things in nature. Right, things that were easily observable, things that everybody already knew, and then he would use that lesson, that thing from nature, really to drive home his point. And that's what he's doing here in the first part of these verses. So we look back down at 43 and 44, and he said, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. And so what he's saying is that every tree bears after its kind. That's the way God set it up. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. That is a pretty easy to understand illustration he's using here. We even think about it up to today. I'm not going to go to a thorn bush to look for an apple. I know that's not where it's going to be found. We understand that there are certain plants, there are certain vines, there are certain trees, and they produce good fruit. We'll go to them to receive it. But we're not going to go to a tree, to a plant, to a vine that we know does not produce something good. Right? Or we know produces something harmful. Now, that's a very easy thing to understand when it comes to what we're going to put into our mouth and swallow into our stomach. Not going to go to something that's going to hurt my health. Not quite as easy to understand or to apply when it comes to spiritual matters, is it? The truth of the matter is, sometimes we may not think twice before going to that thing that a little thought would indicate isn't going to produce any good outcome in my life by engaging in this thing. The point that our Lord is making here, and he goes right into it after giving that illustration, is this. Our heart is going to determine the type of fruit we produce in our lives. Now, what does Jesus mean? And what do the inspired writers mean when they speak about the heart? A lot of times when they talk about the heart in the Scriptures, they're not talking about the organ that pumps blood throughout the rest of our body. That's not what they're talking about. They talk about the heart. They're talking about what we think. They're talking about what we feel, what we believe, what we desire. So what they're talking about is who and what we really are. And so when Jesus is talking about the heart here, he's talking about us, real us. Because who we are on the inside is who we really are. And that's what this is about. Now in Matthew's gospel, when he records this sermon, he applies it specifically to false teachers, false prophets. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 7,
verses 15 through 20. This is what he says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. So Matthew, as he records our Lord's teaching, shows that there were times when Jesus applied this particular illustration directly to false prophets, false teachers. They're the ones that he's talking about there. And you look at the way that he describes them. Come to you in sheep's clothing. You think about a sheep, you can't get much more harmless than a sheep. I mean, imagine a rabid sheep charging you. It'd be kind of a funny thing to see. But that's the thing about false teachers. Even their demeanor is a lie. That's what he's saying here. Their demeanor is a lie. They come like sheep, but that's not what they really are. They're wolves in disguise. He says you'll recognize them by their fruits. Now, he's not saying that a false teacher can't do some nice things. And a false teacher won't help somebody pack up when they're moving. Or a false teacher won't reach into his pocket and give somebody a few. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying you challenge their false teaching and you're going to see who and what they really are. You go up to somebody who's teaching something that's simply not so. You open up the scriptures, you point to it and say, now look, let's you and I have a discussion here. This is what you said. This is what God said. And one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to change what they're teaching and they're going to say, you know what, I was wrong. May not happen instantly, may take some time where they need to study it for themselves and think about it, and then they'll come to the conclusion. That's one thing that could happen. The other is this, they're going to prove themselves dishonest. They're going to prove they don't love the truth. And they're going to do it by refusing to teach what God teaches. That's a fruit. That's a fruit. And they'll prove themselves to be false teachers in how they respond to the truth. That's how Matthew used this particular illustration as he recalled certain times the Lord taught. Well, the Lord seems to have used the same illustration in other ways as well. So we go back over to what Luke says here in Luke chapter 6, and we read verse 45 again. And this is what it says. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Luke is much more comprehensive in the way he's using this illustration, which tells us there were times where Jesus applied it directly to false teachers, and there were also times when he just applied it generally and broadly. And that Luke is using it in that way shows us that we're dealing with something that touches on every single aspect of our lives. And what does God think about our hearts? Put your Bibles over to Jeremiah 17. Let's read verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. This is what God says there. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This morning in Brother David's class, we were talking about, towards the end of class, that Samuel was sent to Jesse. He's going to be a new king.
All of Jesse's sons were passing before Samuel, and he was thinking to himself, surely this has got to be the one. God said, no, I've rejected him. Finally, there was one left. And Samuel learned the lesson that God isn't judging by appearances. God isn't just looking at what's on the outside. God's looking into the heart. God wants to know, who is this person really? And God knows exactly who each one of us is really. He knows that because he sees the heart. He judges what he sees here. And that takes us to the final point tonight, but the one I want to spend most of our time with this evening. Jesus says something that I know is unpopular today. He says there's only two types. There's no middle ground. There's no third option. There's just two hearts. There's either good, and he's the one who gets to define what that is. And then there's everything else which falls under the evil category. Let's read verse 45 again. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, as I said, God has got to be the one who judges what is good. All right, as the creator of all things, he has that authority. So he's the one who gets to set up the standard. And he's been very clear. And he's shown us in ways that we can understand exactly what he considers good. In one place, he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. This is what he says there. Galatians 5, verse 22. He starts off this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is... All right, the fruit of something is the result of something. It's what something produces. So if our lives that are being directed by the Holy Spirit, then there will be a certain fruit that is the result of that. Something that is produced. And this is what it is. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, there's no limit to this. God's not going to say, you've been too kind and you've been too patient and you've been too loving. You go ahead and start being bad now. No, you just keep on. There's no limit. You don't stop doing these things. You just do them more and more and more. And those, verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that shows us that the passions and the desires of the flesh are against the will of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit, what He wants us to produce. These fruits can only be produced and will only be produced consistently when the passions and the desires of the flesh have been crucified. Because they stand diametrically opposed to the Spirit. That's what he's saying in these verses. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, if we allow Him to guide us and to lead us in all things, He does that in the Word. If we let that happen, and let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's do what He's revealed. Be what He described for us in Scripture. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I think we're able to see here that the good heart is the heart that's filled with pure, holy, righteous thoughts. And they come out
in the way that we treat people, in the way that we respond to people. The fruit of the Spirit is what comes back out of us. Because that's what's leading us. That's what's guiding us. The Spirit, not the passions and the desires of the flesh. Look over there at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul has a way of saying the same thing, just using different words. I think he does that to really drive home the point in various ways. Verse 9, he says, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Now, I want you to keep that verse in mind, because we're going to come back to what it's teaching in just a moment. What he's saying here is we will find the fruit that God desires, the fruit that will make us good and just and righteous in His sight, in those places and in those things that are good and right and true. Here's what I want you to think about. What are you putting in? Because what you put in is going to come back out. We're going to come back, as I said, to that thought in just a moment. Look over at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. This is what Paul says to our brethren there in Philippi. Beginning in verse 9, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." This describes the good heart of Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. And when the fruit of the Spirit is being produced and manifested in the life of a saint, people are going to notice it. But that saint, by virtue of who they are and what they understand, is going to ensure all glory goes to God, not to themselves. I've told you this before. A few years ago, I and Jackie and the kids, we were able to go to a it's kind of like an appreciation dinner that some brethren, wasn't a church-connected thing, just some brethren decided to throw one time for a gospel preacher who had been at a particular place for a long time, has touched so many lives. And we went, and we all just enjoyed one another's company. But I will not forget, as various ones of us who were taught and trained by this individual got up one after the other and just recalled some humorous stories and some touching stories and our experiences with him. It got to the end and he was asked, "Do you want to speak?" And he said, "You bet I want to speak." And he got up and he said, "I appreciate so much what everybody's saying, but we've got to understand this. Tonight's not about me. Tonight's about Jesus Christ. Tonight's about Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace. And any good that I've accomplished, I've only accomplished because of Him." He was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. The fruit of the Spirit, the life that is characterized by it, is a life that glorifies God in all things. It recognizes that any good it accomplishes because of the Lord. And it's going to be rewarded by the Lord. We've been going through Isaiah. Go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 3, please, if you will. We've been going through an Isaiah study here at the building on Tuesdays. One of the things that that really jumps out to me studying through Isaiah and other prophets as well, so often the nation generally rejected God. And the content of the prophet's message is often very harsh and very severe as their punishments are being described. But God never forgot that there was always a remnant of righteous people, even if it was so small, they were there. And He never forgot about them. And Isaiah's no exception. Look at Isaiah 3 and 10. Tell the righteous. This is in the midst of so many bad things that are going to happen as a result of the people choosing to sin. But what about the righteous people who are right there with them? Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds.
Turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13.
Revelation 14 and verse 13, this is what it says.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. That's the good heart being described. And that's the outcome.
Everything else falls under the second heading, the evil part. So what might it look like? Well, think of what was described in Galatians chapter 2, verses 22 through 26, and flip it around and make it opposite. That's what it is. That's what it is. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will.
Let's start by going over to Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19.
This is what Jesus says. He says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person.
From out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander.
Hearts that are not characterized by the fruit of the Spirit are characterized by lust, by bitterness, by dishonesty, by hypocrisy, by anger, by envy, by pride. And I want to mention another one here. And I want to mention this because of some of the comments that I continually, consistently hear from Christians. The self-sufficient are in there as well. And this is what I mean by that. I can't tell you how many times I have heard it said, well, I have this family member, or I have this co-worker, or I have this classmate. And that individual, no, they're not a Christian, and no, they don't believe, but they are such a good person. I mean, they're not out there cursing, so their language isn't filthy. They're not out there cheating on their spouse. They're not out there stealing from the company. I never hear them gossiping. It's just so hard for me to understand how that good person could not be saved. When did we start believing people could be saved on the basis of their own goodness? And the basis of their own works? What about the grace of God? What about the blood of Jesus Christ? That person may not be as wicked and as vile in the manner of living as some others are, but have they been perfect in their life? Have they never sinned? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The problem with that person is they don't believe they need what comes next, but are justified by His grace as a gift. Well, no, I don't need His grace. I'm a good person. So throw the grace of God out the window. Throw the blood of Jesus Christ out the window. None of that was necessary. Nobody's going to be saved because they do nice things sometimes, or even because they do nice things most times. You've got to be saved because they believe in the Lord, and because they've been washed in His blood.
and because they give themselves as a living sacrifice to be guided and directed by Him throughout the rest of their lives. You know, that good person who's not a Christian is guilty of some terrible sins. They don't believe that God meant what He said if they believe in a God, which means they're in open rebellion against God. Tell me what's good about that. Tell me what's good about that. Now, self-sufficiency dwells in that evil heart. And here's the thing, brethren, they will receive their reward as well. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew 7 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Brethren, what we choose to put before our eyes is what we are choosing to put into our hearts. I want you to come to another passage with me in Matthew. Come over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Now, this is a well-known passage right in the midst of Matthew's recording of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. We know these very well. Listen to what he says here. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, our eyes are to our body what our heart is to our soul. And so what he's saying here is what you put before your eyes will determine the health of your body. That's the way he's saying this. Do you remember what Job said in Job 31 and verse 1? I have made a covenant with my eyes. How can I gaze upon a virgin? If you look at some of the newer translations that do paraphrase, they'll even paraphrase it for you. I've made a covenant with my eyes. How can I look at a young woman with lustful intent? That's what he means. That's what he's saying there. Now, I have talked to brethren who have said, you know, I read my Bible and I say prayers and I come to the assembly and I partake of the Lord's Supper and I listen to sermons. But I got to tell you, I still find that I'm struggling with lust and I'm struggling with anger and I'm struggling with pride and I'm struggling with honesty. I just don't know what's going on. And I can tell you without fail, in every single instance, one of those individuals has come to me with that complaint. One thing has been true. They're watching things they shouldn't be watching. They're listening to things they shouldn't be listening to. Every single time. Maybe you're one who's thinking that. You know, I read my Bible and I say my prayers and I'm coming to the service, but I still have all of these issues. I'm still struggling with these things. How could that be happening? What's your recently watched list on Netflix look like? Or Amazon. You look down at the music that you've downloaded on your phone. What's it look like? What are you listening to? What's your search history look like on your computer? I remember when TV Guardian first came out. And I think TV Guardian is a good thing. But I remember when it first came out, hearing so many brethren say, you know, now I can watch things that I just couldn't watch before. And in some cases, I think that's true. It cleans up language that shouldn't be there. Does it take out the sexual immorality? Does it just wipe that off?
but to just wipe out the lying, the violence, the pride, the anger. Beloved, what you choose to put before your eyes is what you are choosing to take into your heart. And what is in your heart is going to come back out. It's going to come out in your thoughts. It's going to come out in your words. It's going to come out in your deeds.
Jesus said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Put the right things in. Put the right things in. Consistently. And the right things will come out.
If you're not a Christian, you've got the opportunity now to become one. Believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. And be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. That's where God will perform divine surgery on you. Colossians chapter 2. Have those sins washed clean from your soul and you will rise up in newness of life. In the likeness of our Lord's resurrection. And on the road that leads to heaven. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.